I'm getting some feedback from you, I think.
I hear nothing.
That little clicky, clicky, click, click thing that happens sometimes.
Oh, maybe phone. I don't hear it, but I'll move my phone further away. How's that?
I don't hear it anymore.
Okay. Must have been phone.
Yeah.
It must have been phone.
But it's over now. Yeah.
Oh, she died.
No, who is that?
The Roxette lead singer lady.
Oh, that's
she died. Yeah.
Well, that's what people do. They die.
And apparently everybody.
Yeah, as far as we know. All right, you ready?
Sure.
That is a perfect way to bring this in. On a somber note.
Yeah, well, if you like depressing and gloomy, this movie's for you.
Yeah.
You bringing us in?
Welcome to the Real Jaws Minute.
I'm Jeremy Sternhagen.
And I'm Tyson Ferris.
And
if we sound sad,
you'll never guess what movie we just watched.
It's Jaws the Revenge. Boy, oh boy.
Yes.
Jaws
the Revenge.
This made me equally mad. I don't know if I've ever been equally mad and depressed at the same time as this movie made me.
Yeah. It's also, I noticed you didn't say disappointed. And I think that's because, you know, there's been a gradual lowering of expectations from Jaws 2 to Jaws 3 to this. So
no,
no way your expectations were high going into this.
I wanted this movie, like all the movies, I wanted it to be good.
Yes. And but this movie's reputation is kind of inescapable, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. People have told me that it's diminishing returns with the Jaws's, and boy, I did not realize how big the fall off was.
Ah, you hadn't heard
from three to four.
Three, just when you thought it couldn't get any worse.
Three? I mean, I think I'm on record saying, F*** you, Jaws 3. I'm going to try to not curse very much during this because
it'll be hard.
It's going to be hard, but it's also going to make work for me later. Because I'm the one that has to bleep myself, which is silly. This is so bad.
Had you heard that? I mean, this makes quite
worst
movie ever made.
I had no idea how bad this is. It's quite possibly one of the worst films I've ever seen.
That's what I was trying to say is that this movie quite frequently not only gets mentioned as the worst Jaws sequel, but it gets mentioned among the worst movies ever made.
It's incompetently made.
Yes. And I find it to be, I mean, most movies that get mentioned as worst movie ever made kind of
but it's like in a fun.
It's
in a fun way.
Yeah. And they have all the deck is stacked against those movies because they're low budget, no talent, no, you know, like, and sometimes they achieve something, but you know, like you can't count Manos Hands of Fate against this because that's like a low budget movie made by a bunch of nobodies. This movie has zero excuse to be bad. It is made by a big studio with a reasonably big budget, and
it has everything going for
the most part, everybody involved. Yeah. Like this movie has no excuse to be bad. I don't care if Jaws 2 and Jaws 3, whatever your opinion is of those, that is no excuse for this movie to be as bad as it is.
Yeah. I had this for later, but I'll just say it right now. this movie makes me think less of Michael Caine.
Ooh.
I had whatever esteem I had for Michael Caine, which was high. It is less now for having watched this movie.
Well, that's not his fault.
That's
only because of the order you watch his movies in. If you
he read the script, he knew what he was doing.
This might be the first Michael Caine movie I ever saw. I don't. This or like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. That was like all I knew him from in the '80s.
Wow. So
I did see Man Who Would Be King. So I guess I did know he was capable of something.
So the other thing I want to get right up front: this will be a one episode because no one is tuning in for episode 2 of Jaws the Revenge.
Well, you know, we can Mystery Science Theater this thing where people just tune in to hear us, you know, have a great time destroying this movie.
I don't think there will be a great, there's no great time to be had with this. I'm sorry.
All right.
It is, well, it is depressing and, I can't even.
Well, let's get started and we'll just see how far we get.
Yeah. So we got Jaws music and we get and it's kind of coming up and down in the water. And then we get the typeface. The font is wrong.
Right. I have that. That's my same first note. Font weird.
Like what? You have a Jaws font. You literally have a Jaws font. It's your font. Why
well,
is it not
it.
In that? It's
well,
on the poster.
They changed it for 2 and they changed it for 3. They've clearly have a pattern of not sticking to the font for any of the sequels.
But look at the Jaws Revenge poster. It has Jaws and it's,
oh, yeah, I know.
It's coming up in front of the A, right? Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not defending this at all. It's horrible. It's like they literally had a committee meeting to go, what's the worst font we can choose? Or they just like, the optics department put this up as like a temporary placeholder. Like, is this the timing you want? Do you want the font to appear? Do you want the credits to appear like this?
Right.
But
here.
Then they never had any meeting beyond that about where they should, what the font should look like.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's worth noting that maybe I'm getting ahead of myself that this movie completely ignores Jaws 2 and 3 for at least apparently there's no reference to any plot points of 2 or 3.
Yeah, I did a little research on this, which just depressed me to no end. My understanding is it kind of just, it's funny because, so my understanding is like technically from story wise, this is Jaws 3.
Yeah.
And.
So which one is skipped, 2 or 3, to get to this as the third?
3 is skipped is my understanding.
That's kind of how it feels.
Yeah. But at the same time, I'm like, also like it's later in these people's lives. They could have just done different things. And
mm-hmm. Well, this is only 12 years removed from the first movie in terms of when it came out. And Sean is a lot older than 12 years older than his character in Jaws, the first Jaws.
Yeah.
It doesn't make, there's no, the continuity is extremely loose here. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
So that's about all we have to say on the continuity.
Yeah. It's not great. Also, the shark keeps like dolphining, like in this point of view, right?
Yep. He's coming out of the water.
Yeah. Sharks don't need to see where they're going.
Yeah. They don't need to look. I thought it was appropriate.
They don't need to look above water because nothing above water is a concern to them.
Yeah, they're not hunting their prey by poking their head out like a submarine.
Right?
Which apparently is how Joseph Sargent thought sharks work. They have a periscope.
Yeah.
I thought anyway, it was appropriate that the movie opens literally on shots of garbage.
Yeah.
It's kind of foreboding.
Oh, my goodness. So then we get... Yeah, we get all this up and down shark stuff. It's got all the great music, which
did you think the composer was paying homage to John Williams by giving the big musical crescendo on the John Williams credit?
I don't know if you even noticed that. You know what? I think I did notice that a little bit.
About the closest you'll get He just wanted to remind us what a good score this movie should have.
Yeah. And now his score is not.
It's a perfectly admirable score for some other movie.
Well, it's just that I think it cribs so hard on John Williams that this guy's like, I barely did anything. I'm mostly just re-scribing John Williams stuff. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, so then we get, we go into this uber close-up of a fisheye.
The grossest dead fish I've ever seen.
Yeah, and like, they're going to eat that?
It looks horrible.
It looks horrible.
I don't know who, yeah, it looked like they pulled it out of the garbage.
Yeah.
And then we have a speed ramp shot of Ellen opening the fridge.
I was just going to say speed ramp shot to fridge opening. I was like, that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
We won't even reshoot this to get the timing right. No, we'll just speed ramp it in post.
Yeah.
Yikes.
This director this whole movie has a very made for TV vibe about it. Like, no one's ever going to see this. Let's just get this over with. How can we shave this movie down by 2 minutes? And on the refrigerator, did you notice there was like there was like some little art on the refrigerator held up by a magnet?
Something about the Titanic?
Yes. So we've had shot of garbage, a dead fish, and the Titanic.
I want everybody to know I've watched this movie once, and then I watched it through again 4x speed, which is the fastest I could watch it to do my notes. And because I literally didn't want to watch it again.
Yes. Confession, I did the same thing. I watched this
VLC movie. VLC will only let you go through a movie at 4x the speed.
Yeah.
So that's the fastest I went through it.
I hadn't seen this movie in, I don't know, 15 years. I watched it in the home theater, so I gave it the best shot possible on a giant screen with surround sound. I watched it in its entirety. Thankfully, it's only 90 minutes long, but then, yes, for my notes, I did the 4X option on VLC.
Yeah, yeah.
And still, I think it was worse in 4x speed because you can't even tell what they're saying.
It was making me angry in 4x speed. I will say that there are times where just like I had to pause it, just make a note, and I'm like, "Yep, still angry." So yeah, then we get my next thing. I'm gonna jump time a lot. Well,
if you jump over some of my notes?
Well, then you can.
Well, since you're gonna jump, I'll throw this out.
What's your next? My next one is for Polly. So
okay, my next one is
if you have stuff if you have stuff in between, go for it.
Yep, my next note is for Sean. We are introduced to Sean. Did you recognize that actor? He is in something very memorable from my childhood.
I did not.
He's in Doogie Howser. He's the other young doctor, a little older than Doogie.
Huh. Okay.
The actor Mitchell Anderson, and I thought I recognized him from something else. I looked him up. He's also in the movie Space Camp. So that's it. Mitchell Anderson.
Cool.
He's from Doogie Howser.
I was a fan of those when I was growing up.
Yeah.
But
my next note is on Polly as well.
But honestly, if you're not the top three in Doogie Howser, I'm probably not remembering you. You know, if you're not Donna or is
Max
his friend.
Well, Max is the actor's name. I remember actor's that. Name, I don't remember the character's name.
God, I can't remember. Vinny Delpino.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Well, yeah, man, that came back. Anyway, the filmmaker, Vinny Delpino.
One and only note on this Polly scene. This is my favorite scene in the movie.
Oh, really? Because it has Roy, Roy Scheider in it.
Well, that helps, but just the Sean coming back in and out of the door. It's in another movie. It might be a pretty charming scene. That's all.
It does have a certain charm to it, but we don't know any better yet, right?
Yeah.
We don't know.
Polly.
Well, he calls her Polly.
I didn't realize it. I think as a kid, I didn't make the connection. Because one thing we have skipped over is
It's certainly
obviously
a different.
You've never seen this before.
It's a different actress for certain, and also Polly lived longer and is still working at the sheriff station than Brody.
Apparently.
I just don't buy that at all. When I was like, oh, Polly's alive and Brody's dead, I was like, nope. Nope. Don't buy that.
Yep. Yeah, she's in the first one, she was played by an actress named Peggy Scott. And in this one, it's someone else, which is weird because they get they do bring some actors from Jaws back one later in the movie. I'm sure we'll get to that.
Very soon, actually.
Yeah. Edna Bilotto is playing Polly in Jaws: The Revenge.
Anyway, I hope they had to pay Roy Scheider to put his picture up.
You know, they probably did have to.
I really hope so.
That's probably his favorite thing about Jaws 4. Is he got paid.
He was quoted as, "Satan himself could not have made me make Jaws 4.
And that's before he knew it was going to be terrible. Like, it, for all he knew, they were about to make the best Jaws sequel ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think he knew.
He probably knew better.
So then we get Michael, and he goes off to figure out this whole log business.
Sean, excuse me.
Yeah, Sean. So am I to believe that the shark has set up this log to get Sean Brody there?
You know, it stands to reason, given what we're supposed to believe in the rest of the movie, that makes complete sense.
Yeah.
Are you aware of the kind of the original script idea for this movie that
there's some sort of voodoo curse or something?
Yes, yeah. That there is some kind of voodoo curse, and that the shark is being compelled by this curse, hence the revenge, because it's not the shark getting revenge, it is someone who has some beef with the Brodies.
So that would make more sense.
Yeah.
It's also terrible.
Horrific. Terrible.
Like, I mean, story-wise, terrible. But at least that gives some sort of credence to what's going on.
It's a horrible reason, but at least it is a reason. As opposed to no reason at all.
As opposed to no reason at all, which, as this movie stands, there is no reason for anything that's happening.
Nope.
Yeah, so then we get this shark attack, which is barely a shark attack.
Well, we started off by having the shark emerge out of the water. Already bloody water is there when he emerges out of the water to bite Sean.
Yeah, well, and then it's just bad editing.
This is the worst editing in the movie, or at least that's what I thought until we got to the end of the movie, but we'll save that.
Yeah, it's just horrible. It's just a mishmash. There's no suspense in this.
Well, they literally tell you the shark's coming by switching to the shark's point of view, which is kind of following the playbook from the Alex Kittner attack from the first Jaws.
Yeah.
But in that one, it's this slow, like, it's a misdirect because we've just gotten a scene where point of view equals not the shark, and then it is the shark. Whereas this one, they're just like, well, I guess you have to have a point of view of the shark. So it completely undermines any suspense that might occur in this.
Any suspense, yeah. So whereas this could have been another Chrissy scene, it's completely sucked of any suspense.
Yeah. On paper, I like the idea of him being killed right in the harbor, screaming with no one hearing him. Like, I like that. Like, I can be sold on that as an idea for the opening scene.
I don't have a problem with that at all.
It's
just that the way it's executed, like with the Chrissy scene, you're going to a shark movie and then you see this gal jump in the water and say, "Hey, come swim with me." Even in the first Jaws, you kind of know something bad's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
you know what you're in for. You know, movie you came to see.
You know what movie you came to see. So, but the suspense is there in that scene because you don't know what is doing this to her, and how you don't know how big it is. You don't know how if there's multiple ones. You don't know anything, and it's just this under the surface terror.
And it's funny you just.
That could have been this scene, but it's not. It's horrible. And then you get him whining and crying. And
I kind of bought the actor's terror. I thought he was doing okay.
Oh, no, I think he does fine. I think it goes on way too long. Just the agony he's in because he's just had his arm bitten off.
Yeah.
Like we're just on the boat with him way too long before he gets dispatched, and it just ends up feeling mean.
Yeah, it's pretty grim. It's not.
I mean, Chrissy's death is grim, but this seems way more grim. Like they just.
Well, it's
like
a character we know. Somewhat. I mean, yeah, we'll get into that in a sec. I just want to throw out. You made me think of something. When you said, like, you know what movie you're here to see. And I probably told this story when we covered Jaws, but I'll tell it again. One memory I will never forget in my life is I went to see this movie that I had zero idea what it was about. And that made my experience of watching it so much better. And that movie is The Ghost in the Darkness.
Cool.
You know that movie?
I do.
So I went to that movie and all I knew...
That's a fun movie. That's Jaws. Yeah, it's Jaws with claws.
Yeah. Should we be watching that for a ripoff?
Yeah, we certainly could.
Isn't that the tagline, though, that they gave to The Edge, the Alec Baldwin movie, Jaws with claws?
Oh, I don't know.
I think they did. That's another one. That's a good movie.
That's a good movie, too. Yeah.
For those of you that haven't seen it, well, repeat my experience and go watch that movie knowing nothing about it, Ghost in the Darkness. But if you have seen it, I'll spoil it for you right now, is it's about lions in Africa. It's this guy goes down to Africa to build bridges, like, you know, I don't know, in the early 1900s or late 1800s. And these twin lions start killing everybody. And I had zero idea that the movie was even a scary movie or that it was about lions. When you see these point of view shots of something stalking people in Africa, I had no idea. I'm like, is this a monster movie? Is this like Predator? I had no idea. Anyway, and I think it tripled my enjoyment of that movie.
I didn't know much about that movie either when I saw it. And I recall really liking that film. It being very
written by William Goldman.
Yeah. Very Jaws-esque, but just in a different way. It's not on the water. It's in the savannah, you know?
Yeah, it's hard to call that or The Edge Jaws ripoffs, but they are, you know, there is a naturally occurring predator going after humans. That's about where the similarity ends. But if you want to see good Jaws-esque movies, The Edge and Ghost in the Darkness.
Yeah. The Gray is a good one, too.
I have not seen that. I've heard about it.
Yeah, it's very good. That's with wolves. Anyway... Then we get, basically I'm going to skip over some stuff, but we're going to go.
And then an airplane lands in the ocean.
Yeah. Ellen is mourning and she has all her friends over.
Who, by the way, did you catch who they were?
I did catch two of them.
Yeah.
Well, there's Polly. She's the first one that shows up. And then there's... you know, there's the George Hamilton lady.
Mrs. Taft,
yeah.
Are you going to close the beaches?
Yeah. And then this is the one that surprised me, and I noticed it. I had to give myself a little gold star on this one because I noticed it the first time through. I was like, what the fuck? Is that Alex Kittner's mom?
Ding, 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 gold star.
And it is. And I was like, this movie doesn't even know the other movies. There is no way that Alex Kittner's mom becomes friends with Ellen Brody.
I disagree.
There's no way.
Well,
her husband that she slapped in the face and blamed her child's death on, she becomes friends with that woman.
And then that same man went out and nearly died to do what he should have done right out of the gate and earn the respect of the entire community. Yes, she would have been scarred, but then he died. And so that doesn't mean Mrs. Kittner can't be friends with Ellen Brody. And then Ellen Brody's son dies by shark. They have a connection. So even if they were a little at odds, the death of Martin and the death of Sean brings them even closer together. That's my
opinion. Oh, that is tenuous at best. Okay.
I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just positing how it's probable.
There's
it's
no, there, I'm just saying there's no freaking way. So I was like, cool that she's there, but like, what the F is that about? Like, yeah. Anyway.
And then the scene ends with...
In my notes, I have, nope.
Nope. And isn't this the scene that ends with her saying like, I don't want anybody in my family anywhere near the water. And then it literally cuts to them on a raft.
Get on a ferry. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Well, and then her grabbing her son on the beach before they get on the ferry, her grabbing her son with both hands, like she's about to kiss him.
When her and Michael are walking on the beach.
Yeah, well, they're not even walking. They're just like hugging on the beach. And then she grabs both sides of his head and it looks like they're about to kiss. Like in a not mom and son way. And then she just hugs him again. And I was like, that was weird.
There's this kind of a weird vibe through this whole movie as it relates to Ellen Brody, Michael Brody, and sex.
Him liking mom a little too much and like maybe like not liking mom to like sex. Like
right. So I have this in my notes that there's a lot of sex around Ellen. So she has the weird scene with her son where it's just they're looking at each other a little too much. Then later in the movie, he's seeing his mom come home. And immediately to get his mind off of it, he has sex.
Yeah.
And then, oh, what else? I had one other thing. I can't even remember what it is now. But just there's a, Michael's wife is talking to Ellen about, like, how much sex she wants to have.
It's all so through weird. The movie.
It's Ellen Brody and her involvement in Michael's sex life is a little bit too much. That's all I'm saying.
It's bizarre.
Too into each other's sex lives.
Yeah, I want to say the movie's trying to do something there, but it's not. It just sucks. And
well, they're trying to give them a close emotional connection, but it just comes off as creepy and weird.
But I don't even think they're trying to do that. I think it just straight up sucks and doesn't mean anything. Like, never in the water again. Cut to being on the ferry. Also, before that, Roy Scheider died because of his fear of sharks.
That might be the single worst thing of this movie.
If anybody is not afraid of sharks, it's the guy that's killed two sharks.
Yeah. This guy spent Jaws 1 overcoming his fear and then spent all of Jaws 2 going headlong into the shark. Like,
yeah.
What, there's a shark? I'm going to that thing up.
Yeah, I will kill it. And then he does. No, anybody who's done that twice is not afraid of sharks. He's like, great, bring him on. I got my
Jaws 4.
I got my .38 full of cyanide bullets for him, you know?
They should have started this movie with Roy Scheider's character alive and well, but he just walks around wearing a shark skin. Like, he's completely naked but wears a dead shark carcass and just goes around telling him, like, he's the new Quint. He's like lives in a shack with lots of dead sharks. He's like Quint 1000.
Yeah, he's just bat Quint.
Yeah.
That's great.
Has How Did This Get Made done this movie? They've done Jaws 3.
They have done Jaws 3.
This might be too miserable for them to even...
I don't know. It's damn awful. There is no joy in this movie. I think I said that about Orca, which I do stand by. But like almost doubly so in this film.
Orca is 10 times the movie this is.
Oh, I would watch Orca until the day I die. Then rather watch this film again.
Yep.
And that's
I like
saying
how we,
something.
We've had a balance.
That's saying something because I do not care for Orca.
Yeah. I like how we balanced out our season two with equal parts good movies and bad.
Yeah. So then after this scene, before they get on the ferry, actually, I think there's this scene with Michael and his wife. And they're just talking and he's like bitching and moaning
on the
and
beach.
And then he just runs away.
Yeah. Did they skip a line? That's what it feels like. He says something as he runs away too. And I can't even remember what it is, but
no, he doesn't say anything. She says something and he runs away and she goes, she's confused. As confused as we are, she goes, where are you going? He goes, nowhere. And then end scene. What?
Yeah, he's in the middle of like remembering Sean and then just runs.
It's literally
like a rehearsal.
I literally don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. I don't know why it's there. I don't know what it's supposed to do. But there it is.
He's wishing that instead of this movie, he's running to go shoot The Last Starfighter 2 because he would much rather be doing that than this.
Oh, yeah. When I saw Lance Guest, I was like, ooh, Lance Guest, The Last Starfighter.
Yeah.
Halloween
2, Last Starfighter. What else is? Oh, he was in Wonder Years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Another one of my favorites. That's right in there with Doogie Howser. Very similar.
Yeah.
Probably on the same time.
Yeah. Wonder Years a bit earlier than Doogie.
You're probably right.
Oh yeah, I think I said this already. My next note is I like Michael Caine less as an actor.
I actually think he's about the only thing bringing any like lightness.
Oh, I'm not saying his performance is bad. I'm just saying the fact that he's actually in this film makes me like him less. In fact, I like everybody less for being in this picture. I had a higher opinion of her. Really, everybody else doesn't matter because I'm neither here nor there on them. But Michael Caine and Lauren Gary, I have a less of opinion of them for even doing this at all.
I think if you're Lance Guest, there's no way you don't agree to do this movie, even without reading a script. You're just like, yeah, I'll do that. Lorraine Gary, I think, is even on record as saying like the only reason I did it was for money. Like I got paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
And same with Michael Caine.
Yeah.
Hey, if this movie got Michael Caine what he wanted so that he could continue on to make, he would have followed this up with Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. I think that would have been the movie right after this.
I don't think that's technically a hit.
Oh really? I don't know. All I know is it holds a special place in my heart and I love that movie.
Oh, don't get me wrong. That movie's amazing.
Catch on to the fact that our introduction to Michael Caine in this movie is that he's like everyone's laughing it off, but like the idea of him like putting his airplane into a nosedive with this family with their child in his lap is like utterly terrifying.
I have a note. Michael Caine, terrible. What is it? Hoagie. Terrible. Hoagie, the terrible pilot.
Hoagie, totally hammered.
Yeah. By the way, he's doing this whole, like, I don't know, bit with literally every surviving member of one family in this plane.
So if your son and your husband are killed by sharks?
Yeah, if this plane goes down, there are no more Brodies in the world. It's like Saving Private Ryan, like, except there's no Ryan to come save them.
Yep. Yeah, they laugh it off a little too easy, in my opinion. It's
Oh no, he's a terrible pilot.
Yeah. And then how much do you think this singing limo driver was not in the script? This guy was just a local actor who just did improv that on the day, and they're like, "F it, leave it in the movie."
Well, and he's not even singing; it's ADR, so it's actually.
Oh, is it?
It's totally false. Right. It's actually put into the movie falsely. It wasn't even the guy on the day. Watch it; he's totally ADR'd.
I will.
Did I mention this film is incompetently made?
You know, I've never been in charge of a major Hollywood production, but I have every confidence in the world I could have made a better movie than this.
Oh, it's not even done on a... There's not even good coverage in this film. Like, it's just bad. It's just...
How, if you're a Universal...
Also, Christmas. Let's get to this. Christmas.
It's a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie. Christmas has to be one of the most terrible choices for this film.
Yes. We've already theorized about what better Jaws sequels should be about, so we don't need to do it again. But yes, very obviously one of your choices is, hey, should it take place during Christmas? No.
No.
Next.
Next. So then we get Ellen swimming in the Bahamas, which she said she didn't want anybody in water. And I'm like, what's this about? And then
I'm mad that this scene is happening because I'm like, there's no way she would do this.
And I'm like, why would she do this? This is dumb. This is totally against everything this movie has just told me about this character. And then she starts getting freaked out. And I was like, well, yeah, why are you in the water in the first place? And then she gets attacked by a shark.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a dream fake out.
At this point.
You.
If I had never seen this
Not
movie
you,
before.
Jer. This movie.
Well, yes.
You movie.
You could say it to me. I made you watch this movie. Yeah. No, if I had seen
all of you listening that you wanted me to watch this,
if I had never seen the Jaws sequels before, like you, and I didn't have some ulterior motive to watch them, like recording for a podcast, I probably would have watched Jaws 2 and had a good time, and then I would have watched Jaws 3 and would have been just like, this movie's bonkers. I got to see what happens next. Jaws: The Revenge. This is where, if I would have made it this far into the movie, 22 minutes, this is where I would have shut it off.
Yeah, I hate
it. Like, I have no reason to keep going.
I hate this movie. I hate it so much.
Yes. Like nothing can redeem it from this point. Like, it's over.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to start really skipping here. So.
Well, let me, hold on. Let me see.
My next note is worst Jamaican accent.
Oh, Mario Van Peebles?
Yep. It's not good, man.
The only other note that I had is that Michael as a character, and I realize I'm just putting a hat on a hat here. This movie's terrible. Michael's character doesn't connect with his mother at all. His whole role in this movie is to make her feel bad. Like, I don't care if you lost your husband and your son. Stop. Shut up.
Oh,
don't
yeah.
feel that way.
Yeah, and don't like this other man who seems totally fine and nice, like, other than being a weirdo pilot, but like,
I'm just going to go engage with sharks because I know that's the last thing in the world my mother wants me to do. And I'm going to make her feel bad. Thanks, movie.
and I won't tell anybody about the shark that basically sought me out.
Yeah. Yeah. So worst Jamaican accent for sure.
Yeah. Worst. Okay. And right after we meet Jake, Mario Van Peebles' characters, we get the worst reveal of the shark ever.
Yeah.
It just bobs along with its jaw flapping in the wind.
It literally looks like a plastic model that they just like, for all I know, the shark is like they built like a 3-foot-long shark and they just shot it like in a pool. That's how it looks.
I don't think it is. I think it's actually real size, but it's so bad. The jaws that pops out of the water at Universal Hollywood.
Yes.
Is better than the shark that's in this movie.
Yes. That shark changed over the years. They like changed the way it looked. And this movie directly resulted in what ended up being kind of the permanent look of the shark at Universal. It kind of evolved through the 80s, but then all through the 90s, the shark at Universal Studios looked most like this shark.
Yeah.
And better.
And it looks better.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you have it. So, yeah, I guess the Jaws ride at Universal is better than the entirety of Jaws the Revenge, but that shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody. So that does it for this week, and we will catch you next week here. And if you want to hit us up on the PayPal, you can find us there. There's links in the show notes. And come check us out on our Facebook group. Look for the Real Jaws Minute. And we will see you right here next week on the Real Jaws Minute. Bye.
Bye.